This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week by Pastor Gene Amoson. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
Are we ready to get into the Word today?
Yes.
Okay, as y'all know, we are in our What a Savior series. And what we've been doing in this series is just looking at our incredible Savior, Jesus Christ. My desire in this series, as we put this together, is that you've realized what He came to do for you. The incredible things that He's done for you. We pray that you realize how much He cares for you, how much He loves you, and how He's concerned with every detail of your life. That's really what we're looking at in this series. And today, what I want to do is I want us to start in Acts 17, where Luke writes this, starting in verse 2. It says, "Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again." Somebody say, "Rise again."
Rise again.
"That the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, 'This Christ whom I preach to you is the Christ.'" Is the Christ. So Paul was telling the Jews, he's saying, listen, the resurrection was the proof that Jesus was indeed the Christ. They may have doubted it before, but he's saying, no, the resurrection, that was the proof. Acts 18:5, "When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ." Y'all see that, right? Now, verse 28, this is Luke speaking of Apollos. Verse 28 of Acts 18, "For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ." So obviously, he's trying to tell us something today. So far in this series, what we've done is we've looked at Jesus the human, Jesus the builder, Jesus the servant. Last week, Jesus the shepherd. And y'all, today we're looking at Jesus the Christ. There was a reason that Paul and Apollos were telling the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. And I want you to understand today, we need to know why they were saying that. So are you guys ready to go? You ready to go? Now, let me go ahead and just tell you, we got to build a foundation before we really kind of get into our points today. We need to look at the Greek. We need to look at the Hebrew. We're going to look at some Old Testament prophecy. So let's start off with first the word Christ. In the Greek, that's the word Christos. Somebody say Christos. Christos. Now, it's in the New Testament 571 times. The New Testament was written in Greek. Now, whenever you look in the Old Testament, the word that you'll see is Messiah. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And the way that you pronounce that is Mashiach. And if you don't sound like you're hawking up something, you don't say it right. But here's a question for you. Why didn't they just use Messiah rather than Christ in the New Testament? Well, the reason is this, is whenever you look at Mashiach in the Old Testament, it's used 39 times. 37 of those, it's translated the Anointed One. Whenever they went to write the New Testament in the Greek, the closest word to Anointed One was Christos. So whenever you look at Messiah or Mashiach in the Hebrew, whenever you look at Christos in the Greek, or whenever we just say Christ in English, it's all the same core meaning, which is simply this, the Anointed One. The Anointed One. So today, what I want to do is I want us to understand that that's who Jesus is, right? He's the Anointed One, and that's what Paul was trying to get the Jews to understand in Acts. He was saying, y'all, this is the one that the prophets spoke about. He walked out of the grave. This just shows us that he was the Anointed One. Now, let's focus on the word anointed just for a moment. In the Old Testament, God commanded that three different groups of people be anointed. Okay, be anointed. So in Exodus 30, verse 30, for instance, it says, "And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister to me as priests." Come on, somebody say priest today. So that's your first group that were anointed in the Old Testament. God was talking to Moses there, and then in Exodus, he's talking to Elijah here in 1 Kings, says this, "Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king." Come on, somebody say king.
King.
"Over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphath of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet." Come on, say prophet.
Prophet.
in your place. So you just said the three different groups of people that are anointed in the Old Testament. Prophets, priests, kings, right? Now, by the way, at the Mount of Transfiguration, we just read whenever the Lord was speaking to Moses and was speaking to Elijah. I don't know if y'all remember at the Mount of Transfiguration, you've got Peter, James, and John with Jesus. Two people are there, Moses, right, and Elijah. Moses represented the law. Elijah represented the prophets. Just wanted to mention that. But what does it mean that Jesus is the anointed one? Well, simply put, it's this. Jesus is our prophet. Jesus is our priest. And Jesus is our king. And I want to tell you today, that is good news for us. Amen? That is good news for us. Now, let's keep on building this foundation and see what Scripture says about this. Deuteronomy 18:18. Again, this is God speaking to Moses again. God says this, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren and will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak to them all that I command him. Do y'all notice the capital letters here with prophet and with the he's and the him's, right? So this is obviously the Lord speaking of Jesus. And if you want to confirm that, if you go to Acts, if you're taking notes today, write down Acts 3:22. That's actually the fulfillment of this verse. You'll see that that was the Lord talking about Jesus. Then Zechariah speaks of him as priest and king in Zechariah 6, verse 13. It says, yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule on his throne. So he shall be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both, priest and king. So Jesus, the Christ, is the anointed one. He's our prophet, he's our priest, and he's our king. And again, those three groups were the ones anointed in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament shows us what was to come. Now, let's talk about why that's good news for us. We kind of built our foundation. Are y'all ready to go? All right, so the first thing is this that we need to understand. Since he's our prophet, we can hear God. Amen. Come on now, we can hear God. Amen. Because he's our prophet. It means that under the new covenant, we can hear from God. And that's huge because I don't know about you, I have a lot of decisions that I have to make throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the year. And I need to hear from God. You see, if I go off of feelings all the time, which a lot of people go off of feelings, I'm going to be making a lot of dumb decisions because feelings and emotions are all over the place, aren't they? But whenever you have to make a decision, you can never go wrong by listening to what God has to say about it. I mean, whether it's the person that you are going to marry, whether it's the career you get into, whatever it is, you need to hear from God. I assure you, I need to hear from God as it relates to how to lead this church. Right? I don't need to go off of feelings. We need God to show us how to lead this church. And it's huge that we can hear from him. And here's the great news. We don't have to have somebody else hear God for us. We can actually hear from him directly. Amen? And we love counsel. There's wisdom in a multitude of counsel. We see that in the word. But we can directly hear from him. Now, just a side note, I want to throw a few verses at you from Jeremiah 31. It says, but this is the covenant, that's an important word, that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 34, no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, get this, for they all shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. Hear me today. From the least to the greatest, anyone can know him. Amen. And if anyone can know him, then anyone can hear from him as well. Amen? Amen. That's good news for every one of us. From the least to the greatest, we can know him. We can hear from him. And because of the new covenant, we can hear from God. Now, last week, as we were talking about Jesus, our shepherd, I shared John 10:27 with you. You've probably seen this verse before. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Some of you, you may be here today, and you say, listen, I know the Lord, I'm a Christian, but I have never heard God speak to me before. I'm going to say something, and I'm not trying to be snarky, okay? I'm not. It could be that you have a hearing problem. One of my things that I love to talk about It is because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, because he said that he had to go so that the Holy Spirit could come for our benefit. Hear me. I love to talk on that. Just so you know, there's no reason why you should be living a defeated life because of the finished work of Jesus. But there are too many Christians that are living a life, and whenever you say Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, there's something on the inside of them that's resistant to it. And here's what they're thinking. I'm good with God the Father. I'm good with God the Son, Jesus. But I just don't know about that whole Holy Spirit guy. And so what they do is they just kind of keep them at arm's distance. It's through the Holy Spirit that we hear from the Lord. It's through him that we hear from the Lord. You see, Jesus told his disciples, it's to your benefit that I go away so that he can come. See, the Holy Spirit, he came so that they could then, in the same way that they could talk to Jesus, even though Jesus was coming, they could still have dialogue with the Lord. So it's to our benefit that we're not, or we don't need to be resistant to the Holy Spirit. So if you say, I've never heard from God, I'm just going to ask you, have you been resistant to the Holy Spirit? Because that's how you're going to do it. So maybe you don't have a hearing problem. Maybe you say, well, Pastor Gene, I'm all about the Holy Spirit. I've invited him into my life. Well, maybe you have a little bit of a recognition problem. And again, I'm not being snarky. Whenever we looked at that verse just a minute ago, the Living Bible translation is, my sheep recognize my voice. So maybe you've had trouble recognizing the voice of the Lord. You want to know how you recognize somebody's voice? You spend time with them. Spend time with them. We've got some guests here today, and if I get a chance to meet you today, I'll hear your voice for a minute. But if you call me later this week and I pick up the phone and you just start rattling off and never introduce yourself to me, I'm going to have to say, I'm sorry, who is this? Why? Because I can't recognize your voice. Because I've not really spent much time with you. This young lady, though, on the front row, we talk so much, she doesn't have to say, hey, Gene, this is your wife, Regina, right? I mean, I know who she is, right? I can be on another aisle at Walmart and I can hear her voice. That's my baby over there, right? So maybe you have a recognition problem. And the way you fix that is by spending more time with him. And as you talk to him, he will want to talk back to you, I assure you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to talk to you. So under the new covenant, we can all know, or we can all hear from him. We don't have to hear from him through someone else. And I also want you to know this, God can speak to us through others as well. Through others as well. Now, y'all just hold on for a minute because I want to talk about something that may make a few of you uncomfortable. The prophetic gift, I want you to understand, is available to believers today. And it's for the benefit of all, according to 1 Corinthians 12. It's for the benefit of all. I want you to hear me as pastor of Church Alive here on this stage today. Prophecy is for today. It's for today. 1 Thessalonians 5, and I went old school and threw the King James up there for you. It says this, it says, quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Maybe you don't have a lot of understanding about the gift of prophecy. Just as a heads up, and I thought about this yesterday while I was finishing my notes. On November the 30th, I did a teaching on it. It's on our website, but just to try to bring some kind of clarity to it, you may want to check that out. But I want you to understand this. It's a gift, ultimately, for us to be able to benefit the kingdom of God. The New Testament gift of prophecy is encouragement. It's encouragement. So we've got to understand that whenever we look in Scripture, 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, it greatly encourages prophecy. In fact, of all the gifts, it's the one that Paul talks about more than any of the other ones. And a lot of people, they'll say, well, Pastor Gene, I mean, you can go to chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, and it says that prophecy and tongues and knowledge go away whenever that which is perfect appears. Let's talk about that just for a minute, okay? First of all, it says prophecy, tongues, and knowledge. Prophecy, tongues, and knowledge will go away whenever that which is perfect appears. People who have that philosophy or that mindset, they consider the perfect which appears, which makes those other things go away, be the Word of God or the New Testament. So the Bible was canonized in 393 AD, over 1,600 years ago. Are you telling me that 1,600 years ago, prophecy went away, tongues went away, and knowledge went away? Can we just go to the root word of knowledge? It's know, K-N-O-W. Do y'all know anything? Like, do we know things? Yes. Does the Lord want us to have knowledge of the word? Yes. Do we need to know the Lord? Yes. So are you telling me that 1600 years ago, all knowledge vanished? Okay, let's talk about that whole thing, that which is perfect whenever it appears. A lot of people say it's the Bible or either the completion or the New Testament. Here's what I'm going to say. There is only one who's perfect. I happen to be doing a series on him at this very moment. And someday he will appear. And I don't think at that point prophecy and tongues and any of that other stuff is necessary at that point whenever he reappears. Amen? So that's my thoughts on this. But here's the thing. You can hear from God. You don't always have to hear from God through somebody else. And you can also help folks hear from God by using that prophetic gift, which is available to us according to Scripture. Amen? So he's our prophet and he wants to speak to us. Number two, he's our priest. So we can talk to him. So we can talk to him. In the Old Testament, it was only the priests who could approach God, and that was just once a year. And these poor priests, y'all, they had to sacrifice every morning and every evening, and they could still only approach God one time a year. Whenever they went into the most holy place, that's where you would see the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. But the reason that they could approach God, even if it was only one time a year, it was because they were anointed to approach God. They had been anointed to. But Jesus is our priest, and here's the good news. He approached God for us. He approached God for us. Look at what Hebrews 7 verse 26 says. It says, he is the kind of high priest we need because he is holy and blameless, unstained by sin. He has been set apart from sinners and has been given the highest place of honor in heaven. Verse 27, unlike those other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices every day. They did this for their own sins first and then for the sins of the people. Y'all get this next line. But Jesus did this once for all. Jesus did this once for all when he offered himself as the sacrifice for his people's sin. You see this in chapter 7. You see that in chapter 9 and 10. Once for all. Here's the great news about that. Y'all, we don't have any more payments due on our account because of what he did for us. Amen? There's no more payments due. It's been paid in full because of the finished work of Jesus, the Christ. It's been paid in full. And then Hebrews 4:16 says this, let us therefore come boldly. I need you to say boldly today. Boldly. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. By the way, you only see throne of grace right here in this scripture. It's referring to the mercy seat that I just talked about in the most holy place. Come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Not only the anointed priest could approach God, but hear me today. If you've got a need, the Lord wants you to come boldly and approach him. Yes. He wants you to come boldly and approach him. You don't have to ask a pastor or someone like that to pray for you necessarily or pray for your need, and we gladly will, right? It's good to join our faith together. But listen to me, you can approach the Lord. Yes. Boldly. Yes. Then it was only one time a year for priests who were anointed. But because of what Jesus has done, we can approach the Lord and we can go to him at any point. You can talk to God about anything. Anytime. He's open 24/7. Anywhere. No matter where you are, you can talk to God. And that's a wonderful thing. But we need to see him as approachable. A lot of people feel like maybe they don't have their best KJV talk going. And so they can't talk to God because they don't talk holy enough. You don't have to. You can say words like ain't and everything else. I mean, it won't disqualify you. Even though that's not in the Bible, he still understands. He knows what it means, right? Listen, you can talk to him the way you talk to your spouse, the way you talk to your brother, the way you talk to your sister, the way you talk to your best friend. He wants to hear from you. Hear me, he wants to hear from you. And as you talk to him, then you're going to begin to hear him. Amen. Then any recognition issue that you had when it comes to hearing the voice of God, it's going to go away. And let's talk about that just for a minute. I want you to understand, as believers, we need to talk to him because the more we talk to him, the more we're going to hear from him. we need to be able to recognize our voice, the Lord's voice, and the enemy's voice. Amen. We need to be able to recognize those three. I want you to understand this. The enemy's voice is always going to be anti the Word of God. The enemy's voice is going to always be doubt. The enemy's voice is going to be telling you that you don't need to do things that line up with the Word of God, right? But then whenever you hear from the Lord, it's going to be backing up the Word of God. It's going to be telling you that you are able to do it. It's going to be peaceful as well. Just so you know, whenever you hear from the enemy, peace doesn't come along with what he has to say. It doesn't. But whenever you hear from the Lord, it's peaceful. So we need to be able to recognize the voices, amen? So he's our prophet, y'all. We can hear him. He's our priest. We can talk to him, and that's great news. But number three, I'm super excited about, he's our king. And we can walk with God. We can walk with God. In Revelation 17, and maybe you haven't read Revelation, it can be a little hard to get through at times. But in Revelation 17, for me to kind of set up this verse, it's basically about worldly powers that will unite to war against the Lamb. It says this in verse 13, it says, "These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb." But come on, somebody. "The Lamb will overcome them. For he is Lord of lords, and he's King of kings." He's King of kings, and those who are with him are called, they're chosen, and they're faithful. Hear me today. The Lamb gave his life for you. He gave his life for me, and he has overcome. He's overcome. Jesus is king. Not only is he just a king, he is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Sometimes in scripture you'll see that Satan's referred to as the prince of darkness. Okay, that's cute. He's a prince of darkness, but we serve the King of kings. The King of kings, amen? You know, every name, for instance, has to bow to the name of our king. There's no one who can compare to our king. Anyone, anything pales in comparison to our king. And here's the great news for you and I. Even as the King of kings, he's approachable for us. He's not untouchable. He's not like us trying to meet the president or trying to meet some big-time celebrity. That's not it. He's completely approachable. And he wants to have a relationship with us, and he wants us to walk with him. And y'all, I don't know about you, but I think that is really good news. Amen? That is seriously good news. Come on, can you stand with me today? For a moment, I want us to think about a story in the Old Testament. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, David had become king. Saul and his son Jonathan had died in battle. So David's king, and he asked his staff, he says, "Is there anyone of Saul's family who are still alive that I could show favor to?" That's what he said, that I could show favor to. And they said, "Well, there's this one guy, his name's Mephibosheth." And David said, "Go get him." So they go and they get Mephibosheth. Now, let me give you some background on him. Mephibosheth was Jonathan's son, Saul's grandson. Whenever Jonathan and Saul were killed in battle, Mephibosheth's caretaker was running to try to get him to safety, and she dropped him. And in dropping him, he became crippled as a little fellow. So you can imagine the years of this little guy growing up and him thinking that the now king, David, probably hated him and probably had it out for him. He lived in a place called Lodabar, which means a dry, barren wilderness. Terrible place to be. So David says, "Go get this guy." And again, he said, "Who can I show favor to, right?" So they go to get Mephibosheth, they bring him, and can you just imagine what's going through his mind? He's thinking, my family's dead. I'm next, right? He would be thinking that, right? He's going to get rid of me now. He probably thought that David hated him this whole time that he's living in that place called Lodabar. He's probably thinking, the king hates me. If he even knows I'm alive, he hates me. But David has him brought to him. This little guy comes in, and again, he can't even walk. And David looks at him and he says, I'm going to restore to you all the land that your grandpa, King Saul, had. It's all yours. And then he says this. He says, son, you're going to eat at my table every day as well. Some of you have maybe felt like Mephibosheth. You look at your life, and in the same way that he was crippled, he had his imperfections. You think to yourself, I've done too much. I'm too messed up. The inside of me is just trashed. I'm dirty. I'm nasty. The king would want nothing to do with me. He may even hate me. Some of you have felt that way, and you may feel that way this morning. But I need you to hear me. Our king, the anointed one, our prophet, priest, king, our king longs to have you walk with him, to have a relationship with him. He's not out to get you. He wants to chase you down with his goodness. He wants to show favor in your life. He wants to fix everything that's wrong with you and bring restoration in your life in the same way that David restored what was Saul's to Mephibosheth. Something that I think is just beautiful is he told him, he said, from now on, you're going to eat at my table. Last week, whenever we were talking about Jesus as our shepherd, we talked about the verse in Psalm 23, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I mentioned that the table represents a place of fellowship. It's a place where we fellowship with the Lord. It's a place where Mephibosheth could then fellowship with the king. But here's the other beautiful thing about the table in that story. It covered his imperfections as he sat under it. To where David, the king, didn't even see him. And I want you to know today, I don't care how you see yourself. I just want you to know this. Whenever the king looks at you, he doesn't see that. He sees somebody that he so, so longs to have a relationship with. That he sees you and he just wants you to just accept his gift of salvation. He wants you to walk with him, and he wants to walk with you throughout life. Come on today, if you would, just bow your heads. Just close your eyes. As we're talking today, again, we've talked about the fact that he's our prophet, our priest, our king. We can hear from him. Have you heard from the Lord lately? You can talk to him. If you haven't heard from him, you need to begin to just have dialogue with him. Bring him into your life. Bring him into your life. I want you to hear me. He's concerned about every issue that you have gone through and you may be going through right now. I need somebody to hear me today. Every tear that you have shed about your current situation, he has seen it. And he knows of it. And he knows every detail of your life. He knows every detail about what you're walking through right now. And again, he's our king, and he wants us to walk with him. We are able to walk with him and have him in our lives. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor Gene, I don't have a relationship with God. I don't. If you were to say, Pastor Gene, if I were to take my last breath today, I don't know what eternity looks like for me. I want you to just listen to me today. There is a real heaven and there is a real hell. And as soon as you take your last breath, 2 seconds later, you're going to know it for a fact. This is nothing you want to gamble with. But I also want you to hear me today that God loves you so much. Romans 5:8. While we were all messed up, he sent Jesus, his son, once for all to take care of our sin problem. Once for all. So if you're here today and you say, I need to get right with God. maybe you're here today and you say, okay, there was a day whenever I was close to God, but I have gone sideways and I'm way off track, but I got to get back on track today. I need to get right with God again. If that's you today, I want to pray with you as well. We're going to make it real easy on you today. Everybody's got their heads bowed, their eyes closed. It's just me and you. We're just having a moment, just me and you. If either one of those situations are you, you've never, ever accepted his gift of salvation, or either you're just way off track right now, but you know you got to get back. You want to rededicate your life to God. I want you to just do something really bold today. I want you just quickly to show God that you're serious, to show me that you're serious. I want you to just quickly lift your hand today so that I can pray for you. Amen. Amen. There's hands. Anybody else? Come on. Praise God. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. All right, today we're all going to pray together. We're all going to pray together. Come on. Everybody just repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for me, that you rose from the dead. Today I declare you are Lord of my life. I commit to trust and follow you as my Lord and as my Savior. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week with Pastor Gene Amoson. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.